John chapter 8, verses 31 through 36, which includes the memory verse that we just sang. Well, about 6 weeks ago, I didn't exist. For about 2 hours, I ceased to be. Now, from my perspective, that's 100% true, but Reka, who was waiting in the operating room, and for the doctors who were working on my shoulder, apparently they think that I was still fully there. But I have no recollection of any time passing. From my perspective, there wasn't even like blackness, because blackness is something. But I didn't exist. And I know that that's true because that's my truth, right? That is my perspective and that is my right to create my truth. Kind of ridiculous, right? It's kind of ridiculous. You know, neuroscientists actually tell us that we as humans are really bad at interpreting reality. In fact, most of what we perceive is not the way we think it is. That's why magicians can do the things that magicians do. That's why people who create optical illusions can do things that make us see things that aren't really there. It's because what our brain actually does is it's interpreting things all the time. And most of how we interpret things comes from what's already within us. And so what they've told us is that we're not what we think. We think we're a camera, right? We think our brain works like a camera, that we are accurately recording everything. But in fact, what neuroscientists tell us is that we are more like a translation app, that we are taking inputs that come in and we are trying to translate them, interpret them, and make sense of them. Most of the time, this works pretty well. But not always, as again, magicians can testify. And so, for example, if you get an input like this, rah, 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 rah. Meaningless, right? Rah, 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 rah. But if I tell you that what I just said was Pizza the Hut, rah, 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 you can almost hear it. Because what's inside of you is creating in a translation of reality. The reality is, what I just said to you did not change. It was still gibberish. But many of you actually heard Pizza the Hut. By the way, that is a Spaceballs reference if you're aware of that movie. And in fact, I'm going to give several movie analogies today in my sermon. And I've heard it said before that you can tell how old somebody is by when their pop culture references end. And so most of mine are going to end around the early 2000s, just so you're all aware. But because we're so bad at interpreting reality, we need something to be our reality check. We need something that is going to be a corrective lens to how we are perceiving this world. And so we see in our passage today, in verses 33 and 34, that there are a group of Jews who are having a problem with reality. Jesus has told them that they will be set free by the truth. And they freak out. They freak out. They basically come to Jesus and they go on the attack. They're like, no, we're not enslaved to anyone. There's nothing going on that we're enslaved to. Later they'll talk about being children of Abraham. But here's the thing. First of all, they're in occupied territory, remember? They are in Rome. They are under the thumb of the Romans. So in one sense, in almost a very literal way, they really are enslaved. They had a few more perks under Herod than some of the other areas of the Roman world. But what's more, Jesus goes on to tell them that it's not just physical slavery, it is a slavery to sin. If you are continuously sinning, by the way, that Greek word for sinning in verse 34 tells us it's continuous, it's not a one-time thing, but you will be a slave to sin. You are a slave to sin if you are continuously sinning. And so Jesus is addressing a group of people here who think they're okay. They are unbelievers. So in verse 31, this is kind of funny because in verse 31 it says, to the Jews who had believed in him, and a lot of times we interpret that as have saving faith. But if you continue reading through John chapter 8, Jesus calls their father the devil. And if your father's the devil, you do not have saving faith. And so these are people who believed in some sense. In some sense, they think they're okay, that everything's fine, but it's not. They are enslaved to sin, and the ultimate sin that they are enslaved to is the sin of unbelief. the sin of unbelief. You know, there are people today who think they're just fine, who are also enslaved to sin. They're not living in reality. Their perspective is wrong because they're not willing to accept the corrective lens. And so there's different iterations of these type of people. The first are people who are just flat out unbelievers. Like, they think they are fine. Think about the Freedom From Religion Foundation, which exists up in Madison, Wisconsin. They think they are 100% fine. They think they are 100% free because they've taken off the shackles of religion. But they're not free at all. They are enslaved because they are not living in reality. You know, a couple months ago, I became almost obsessed with watching videos about North Korea. Because if you've ever watched anything about North Korea, it's like bizarro land. Like, all the people who created the propaganda around this regime, they've all died. And all the people who maybe were like kids when that propaganda was created, they're all old and dead too. So everybody in North Korea actually believes these crazy things. That North Korea is the pinnacle of the industrial world. That North Korea is the most powerful and amazing military. And that Kim Jong-un is like a god. And they might be living in that world and be completely sincere. But when we watched these videos, when I was seeing these things of these people, my heart just cried out because I was like, but they're not free. They might be living a life where they feel like they are sincere and authentic in every way, but they're not free because they are living in a false reality. And that's what's going on with unbelievers in the world. They might think they're free, but their reality is false. You can never be free if you are living in a false reality. Now, there are other types of people, too, who are technically unbelievers, but it's a little more subtle, right? There are people who, say, grew up in a church, and they've been exposed to the Bible, and maybe they're even attending churches. But because they are unwilling to be corrected by the Bible, they are living also in a false reality. They are living in a world where they're not truly free. It makes me think of the movie The Matrix. I told you it'd be my pop culture references. In the movie The Matrix, for those who are unfamiliar with it, it's basically this sci-fi movie where all the people are actually living in this giant computer program. And so all of reality, everything we're experiencing right now is just make-believe in this computer program. But a few people get out of this program and they're trying to set others free. Okay? Well, there's one character, his name is Cypher. And Cypher has been outside of the Matrix for 9 years, and he just kind of gets sick of it. And he says one time, and I'm paraphrasing the quote, he says something to the effect while he's meeting with the computer program, the androids who are in the program, and he's eating a steak, and he says, I know that this is make-believe. I know it's just a wire in my brain that's telling me that this is a juicy steak. But you know what? I don't care. Ignorance is bliss. And there are a lot of people in the church who live that way. They look at the world around them, and they think, you know what? I just want that juicy steak. I don't care about the truth of the Bible. We go all the way back to the Garden of Eden, when people thought that God is withholding good from them. And that's what often happens. They think that what God is doing, when we read His Word, when we read His law, when we read the best way to have a meaningful life, they think God is withholding good. And they'd rather just go have that make-believe steak, even if maybe at some level they know it's make-believe. Then, of course, there are people who have just grown up, maybe in a non-Bible-believing church or a part of a non-Bible-believing church, and they want to be sincere, they want to be authentic, but they just don't realize that what they've been taught doesn't jive with God's Word. They've never spent time in God's Word. They've never been told maybe they have to have it as a corrective lens. And so my last pop culture reference, The Truman Show, Jim Carrey, The Truman Show. And Jim Carrey in The Truman Show, what he is, the show is about is, it's kind of the first big reality TV show. Jim Carrey was adopted as a baby by a network, and then it's this world called Sea Haven where his whole life is recorded. And the show becomes the most popular show in the world because Truman, true man, is authentic. But he's living in a false reality. And so what ends up happening is people try to get Truman's attention to help him escape this false reality, and you as a viewer, you want him to escape this false reality because you know even though everything might seem good and so wonderful, it's not real. It doesn't have authenticity because it's not reality. And when we're not exposed to the Bible and when we don't correct our reality, our perceptions with God's Word, that can happen in the church too. And so we need to be in God's Word so that we are living in real reality. You are not free so long as you are enslaved to unbelief and to perceptions that have not been filtered through God's Word. Well, there is good news in the text. And the good news towards the end of the text is that the Son can set you free. The Son will set you free. And that's a capital S in the word Son there in verse 36. Jesus Christ can set us free. It's an interesting thing. When you're a slave, you can't emancipate yourself. You can't unshackle yourself. You need someone to do that for you. And so what Jesus Christ did is he came down into this earth, lived the perfect life in the flesh, was tortured, crucified, died, and buried, but then he rose again. And for those whom the Holy Spirit regenerates, he will become Savior and Lord of their life, and he will be by the right hand of the Father, he will be making intervention for them. The Son can set you free. But how do you know if the Son set you free? Right? How do we know that? Well, Scripture tells us, first, it tells us in the previous verse, verse 35 is kind of an interesting one because it talks about slaves being in the household. And then the Son remains in the household, and I wrestled with that for a while about what that actually meant. But what I think it means is this. If you recall, a couple weeks ago, I was talking about the Roman world and how it was like everyone's goal, if you were not one of that one half of 1%, your goal in life is to find some wealthy benefactor who's going to take care of you. You want to be in a household. You want to be a part of a household. And the wealthier and the more generous that benefactor is, the better your life is going to be. And I use the example that Bill Gates' butler is not going to ever starve. Bill Gates' butler is living a pretty good life right now. But if you are a slave, you might not be able to stay in that household. Because in Rome, you might get sold to somebody else. You might be taken away. But if you are a son, if you are adopted, or daughter, if you are adopted, you get to remain in that household for the rest of your life. And in this metaphor, also for eternity. In Ephesians 2, 19 through 22, the church is called the household of God. And so one of the ways that we know that the Son has set us free is that we are remaining in the household. That we are willing to be a part of a body of believers that we have been saved into. We've been saved into the church. And so if we remain in the church and be among God's people, that is one indication that we have been set free by the Son. But it's not the only one. Because again, some people can be in church their entire lives and just be misinformed. And that takes us all the way back to the very first verse in our passage today. If you abide in my word. If you abide in the word of God, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. One of the indicators of someone who has been saved by Jesus Christ, who has been set free by the Son, is they are going to love the word of God. They are going to want to spend time in the Word of God. And by the way, this doesn't necessarily mean that you have to do a very rigid Bible study every day, and if you don't do that, that somehow you are damned to hell forever. That's just creating a new law. We've been set free, and so we desire to be in God's Word. It actually, because we are free, we are motivated to do it. It's not a punishment to have to sit there and do it. It's not a dutiful thing. Sometimes we may have to muster up some courage and be dutiful, but most of the time it's a joy. It's a real pleasure. Because if I'm authentic, if I am free, if I am living in reality, and I look at God's Word and I know that this is the very Word of God, why the most meaningful thing I can do is spend time reading it. And if I know that this is going to bring me life and bring me freedom and be my corrective lens on reality, why, I'm going to want to just make that a central part of my day every single day. Because I am free, I'm going to live in reality and I'm going to want to be authentic in everything I do. I also would like to just point out, it's not just spending time in God's Word. It certainly includes it. But we want to spend time with God in other ways as well. If we mean what we say when we say that I love the Lord, we're going to want to talk to Him, aren't we? We're going to want to pray. If I say that I love the Lord, why, I'm going to have to love what the Lord loves as well. I am going to love the things that Jesus does, and I'm going to hate the things that Jesus does. What are some things Jesus loves? We already talked about one. We talked about the church, right? Another metaphor used in Scripture is that the church is the bride of Christ. And if I tell you that I love you, but I hate your spouse, that's not truth, is it? I can't love you and hate your spouse. And there are some people who think that they can do away with the church altogether. That's just not reality, my friends. It's just not reality. That's why we need Scripture to be correcting our reality and interpreting it. If I love the things of God, I'm going to also love the children of God. So the church, you can think of that as corporate, but the children of God are the individuals. I'm going to want to spend time with God's people. I'm going to want to have friends who are believers because I love the things that the Lord loves. And so abiding in God's Word is correcting our reality, but it's much more than just reading the Bible. It's living a life of obedience to God. As we think about where we are and who we are as God's people, we have to ask ourselves, where do we reside? Where do we live? What am I making the focus of my life? How am I correcting reality? Because my perception is skewed by the fall. Rah, 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 rah. You still hear Pizza the Hut? That's not what I said that time. I said, Jesus is Lord. Rah, 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 rah. Jesus is Lord. We need a corrective lens so that we can have an accurate check on reality, so that we can live in freedom, and so that we can live in truth. Let's pray. Lord, I thank You that You have given us Your Word. Throughout much of history and in many places of the world today, Your Word is hard to come by, but here where we live, we have access to it all the time. May we never take that for granted. May we make Your Word the central part of our lives so that we can be more real, so that we can be free. Without it, we are still enslaved. We are just believing nonsense. We know that when we are fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ, that we are truly free. Our lives really have meaning and authenticity in a way that the world can't comprehend. Lord, help us to see the areas in our lives where we need to be transformed. May Your Holy Spirit work within each of us so that we are changed to be more and more like Jesus Christ. We thank You for what You are doing in this church and in Your church throughout the world. We thank You most of all for Jesus, who laid down His life to save us from our sins. Because we're not fine. We need Him. We cannot free ourselves. We need You, Lord. Thank You for how You have set people free, and may we share that freedom with others so that they may come to saving faith in Jesus Christ as well. And it's in our King Jesus' name we pray. Amen.